Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 224. This one was really fun. Kevin wasn't supposed to originally be in the podcast, but then he jumped in right after work in the home office. We did a lot of Q&As. We talk about what's the most pissed off we've ever seen Coach Ferentz. We talk a little bit about the 12-team playoff as that is started to heat up as a conversation lately again, and a whole bunch of other questions, right? So let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washer Walk-Ons fans, episode 224, Kluver.
Yes, sir.
Of the podcast. Today, unfortunately, it's just me and Kluver, but sometimes that makes for some pretty good entertainment for the fans.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Yeah, we're in a little bit of an Iowa dead period, you know. There's not much going on. The football squad's getting ready, but there's nothing to talk about. So figured I'd start us off with a little fun story about my day. Went to MMA training this morning, pulled up about 9:30, and it was weird that there was a bunch of cars in the parking lot. That's unusual. Walked in the door, all the lights are off, and it took me several seconds to realize that I accidentally just walked in on Ryan Bader's heavyweight champion highlight promo deal for Bellator. So yeah, I accidentally fucking walked on stage for that. So then I got to hide in the corner and watch his promo though. So that was pretty cool. I might actually be in a clip on Showtime on his promo because I was on the mat training next to him, and there's potential that my mullet will make it on Showtime.
That mullet deserves Showtime. Your mullet deserves to sign a Showtime contract like Jake Paul. Jake Paul's boxing Showtime now.
Listen, pal. All right. So here's the thing. In boxing, Jake Paul would flatline me.
Yeah, he's putting work, man.
But put us in an octagon. Put us in an octagon, and yeah. I think Jake's in trouble.
There's a guy. Oh, who said it? Someone's trying to try you on Twitter. Which, of course.
I didn't see.
Right. No, I know you didn't see. So let me see if I can flashcard memory this. Post something. I don't remember what it was. Well, I posted the video of your little 50-second rant about Iowa State sucks, their linebackers suck, their colors suck.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And somebody says this. Somebody starts going off about how you're not mature and you're not an adult and all this.
I'm a kid who played for Iowa that hates Iowa State. And I'm trying to be funny. So.
And right. And I generally got at that. And he's like, at one point he's like, I mean, this dude's rambling. This guy's got.
How many followers does this guy have? First off?
None.
Okay. Okay.
And also this guy's got nothing to do. Hey.
Yeah.
This guy's got speaking of Cheeto fingers, the Cheeto top 25 rankings, this guy, he ranked all 128 teams in the NCAA, and he did full backgrounds on them because he ain't got nothing else to do.
So you're telling me this guy's the Cheeto finger MVP?
If there was a Cheeto finger fantasy football league, this guy is the three-time back-to-back-to-back champion.
Yeah. That is insane. Okay, so give this Cheeto finger cheese liquor his glory.
I think he's got a cat as his picture on Twitter. So, and nothing against cats, but I like cats, but I wouldn't put it as my picture. Anyway, at some point he's rambling. It's not this back and forth conversation. He's like hitting me with like four or five different responses and ideas to each thing I say. And I had only responded a couple times. And he goes, sounds like an old player who's just who couldn't keep up with the young guns. Bet something about like bet you wouldn't want to take. I bet I could take him in a fight or something. I bet it something along the lines of like, I bet I could take
your memory is worse than mine. I think
it's bad, bro, but it's okay. Somewhere along the lines of like, I bet I could take him in a fight or I bet I could.
Listen, man, you can stop right there. And I enjoy fighting for recreation. I do it daily. Please come to the gym. There's a waiver that you can sign. There's shin guards you can put on, gloves that we can put on our hands. Mouthpieces.
I know.
There'll even be coaches that can help you. I would love to fight.
Yeah.
We've got an octagon. We've got mat space. Please, by all means.
Yeah. It was interesting. Anyway, so that was one of them. But you're how big time is Ryan Bader?
I mean, he's the Bellator heavyweight champ, and I think he pulls seven figures per pay-per-view. Every fight he makes,
wow, that's
a seven-figure pay-per-view.
That's a lot of dough. It's a lot of dough, man.
The guy, he was very good in UFC, but he wasn't like a he wasn't contending for the world title. But he was real young, and Bellator offered him way more money. He came over,
yeah,
and like started to enter his prime and took both Bellator belts, and wow. Now he's fighting in the Grand Prix for his second one again.
Now you are doing MMA training now, which is obviously not, it's different than jiu-jitsu. Is that at the
same?
Well,
it's just like you go to jiu-jitsu class.
It's the same place.
Yeah. But then I also do boxing.
Striking.
And also, okay. Yeah. You know, kick people a little bit. Just
right. Okay. Makes sense. And how long does it take for Drake Kulik to practice that before he gets himself into like a, I don't know, a little scramble action, you know?
I need to get my health figured out. And then once I get that figured out, I will compete in jiu-jitsu again.
Speaking of, then
I would like to have a fight or two by the end of the year.
Yeah. Now your GI track is that of a,
listen, dude,
severely unhealthy, overweight, just completely out of shape. Somebody that's completely,
I think my guts are melting quicker than Hiroshima.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's like you were born in Chernobyl and it's melting you from the inside out.
If that's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like, huh?
Yeah.
So I'm sure now this isn't, how old does it make you feel? Cause it feels like, hey, we're like athletes, we're invincible. We train all the time, eat this good food. We lift weights, eat cardio, all this stuff. And then something like a GI track bothers you and you're like, I can't do anything about that. There's nothing I can do. I mean, you're eating clean. You're talking about acai bowls and lean meat and I have every once in a while, something upsets my tummy a little bit. And I'm like, hey, now I used to have an iron trap.
I don't know what happened, dude.
You get older and you get soft as shit.
Dude.
And we're only 26.
I did something and I don't know what I did. Or maybe if this was just destined. I really don't know. I'm going to the doctor or if we're trying to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
But
like, bro, you're not even sleeping because of it.
Bro, I haven't hardly slept in 3 days.
Jesus Christ. Well, okay. Sounds good.
But awesome. We're here on the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, and I'm still going to tell jokes because I'm a sick motherfucker till the day I die.
Yeah. Yep. The show goes on. Hey, it's next man in on this podcast, and Kevin is not one of those men today, and that's partially my fault. Kevin definitely – I'll admit when it's my fault or when it's Kevin's fault, usually Kevin's fault, but it's my fault today. I'm a busy guy now. Busy guy. I had a snapping lesson today. Kid and his dad both listened to the podcast, and sometimes I've had those moments. You had a moment like that when you like met those people in the parking lot of a grocery store one time out in Arizona, and they're like wearing a Wash Up Walk On shirt or whatever, sweatshirt.
Yeah, I was wearing the Wash Up Walk On shirt.
You were.
They yelled at me.
And it's like one of those, every once in a while, it's one of those moments where it's like, what the hell? Like, people listen to this thing that we do when we turn on these microphones, And it just blows my mind. Like it'll never.
And I hope they understand by this point, please, the people that are listening to this rant right now, we are doing this for fun.
Tell them.
We are doing this like Pat McAfee does his stuff, because he does it independently and he doesn't have to take shit from anybody. He can say what he wants. He can have fun with his friends and he can just do it. Be free, man. We are in America and we were supposed to be the freest country in the world.
And I don't know if we are anymore.
All of a sudden, our own people are trying to put the bear traps on us. And that is fucking sick. And I'm not here for it. And this podcast will continue to be flagrant and fun and speak our minds on shit because we can. That's my rant.
And I almost take it as a compliment. And it's you more than me. But I almost take it as a compliment when we go off on a topic or we're essentially doing a bit, right? And people are so convinced that whatever we say during that or however we come off in our tone or whatever, they're so convinced that that's who we are to the core as people. And I'll just take it as like, hey, we're convincing. Like we're pretty good at, you know, getting on the mic and acting out something or
my mom and my girlfriend and the people close to me know I'm a good person.
Right.
And my friends got my back and like it's really like all that matters, man.
It's like these people think that like if they met you in person, you would be the exact same person. And it's just not like you would be chill. You wouldn't say hardly anything. Like as long as you were unprovoked, you would be the coolest guy. And just like, it's so different. I don't know, man. I'll just take it as a compliment though. I asked questions on Twitter and someone asked, is Drake Joe Rogan? And that's all he said.
No, that's a horrible question. Joe is way more introspective than me. And I actually...
You just watched him, right? You and Kaylee.
Yeah, we went to his comedy show. And it was a shit show afterwards. I don't know if I told the story on this podcast, but it can be a funny story afterwards. But I look up to Joe Rogan so much because he is a truly... What I see... as a truly egoless individual and somebody who is willing to take the perspective from anybody just to further his knowledge. And I'm the same way. Like I say brash shit on this podcast because it's really fun for me. And because I know that I'm stirring people into a tizzy that they just can't handle. And I really get a kick out of that, man.
It's fun to be entertaining.
There's no backlash for me. I just go about my life. And then I text Kluver in the morning. Hey, do we have a podcast? Yeah, we have a podcast. I get on, boom, bang, boom. I just go about my life. And it is really, really fun. And that is something that I learned from Joe Rogan, because he said, don't read the comments because they don't matter to your life. Like you're entitled to your opinion. You're free to speak your mind. And I think that I've done a good job of learning from other people on this podcast and being very open to other perspectives. And then there's other times where I just speak my mind and I'm free to do that. So in a way, maybe I have the same mentality as Joe, but I'm so much less than Joe. And I have so like he is, I would love to have Joe Rogan as a mentor. That would be a dream.
He's man, he's gotten to sit down with so many people. And when you hear that many elite people in their field bring such a spectrum of experience and ideas on certain subjects, I mean, he's had super liberals on, he's had super conservatives. I mean, he's had everybody.
His newest episode is a liberal and conservative at the same time. And
girl and the guy talking about Fauci.
And like, yeah, bro.
Every time we say Fauci on this podcast, we lose like 400 listeners, but
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Listen to a couple clips and it was really good. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, Rogan's great, but Drake is not him, but I'm glad he's not him because it is what it is. I mean, Rogan's like 5'6", so
Drake's, no, give him more credit than that.
Like 5'8".
Yeah, he's 5'8", 5'9".
He's like 5'8".
Listen, Joe Rogan would fuck me up sideways.
He can kick like a mother.
Dude, Joe Rogan would turn me inside out and find out what's wrong with my insides.
Maybe that's what you need.
I'm telling you, I've been wanting to get mentored by him. I'll get beat by him too. I don't care.
And actually, you know who needs to be kicked and torn apart so that we can find out what their insides look like, is whoever's selling these alleged HBAM flags at Shields.
Oh, listen, man. Listen, if this is true, listen, this is bad.
This is from Twitter. Someone claims this.
This is going to be another rant because I saw this. I actually Googled Washed Up Walk-On's podcast.
That's the only way you can see conversation about our podcast.
That was what was on the first thing, was just like this thing, this whatever about HBAM flags. And bro, if it's true that Shields, the corporation, is so uninventive, that so fucking lame, that they would take somebody else's idea from an effective nonprofit organization who is trying to raise money for the children's hospital through merchandise sales. Yeah. If it's true that $1 billion corporation, probably, I'm assuming by now.
Let me look that up as you talk here.
An assumed $1 billion corporation stole an idea from a podcast that is raising money. I mean, that is asinine. I can't even believe it. Like, I can't even believe that there could be scum so high up at Shields that they would just think that that is cool. Well, and like, this needs to be figured out. Like, this, first of all, it needs to be confirmed or denied.
Yeah.
And if it is confirmed, Shields, I'm speaking directly to you, and I'm also speaking to our fans. I implore you to jump all over their ass and like demand that the profit that they made goes to the rightful place. Like, that is our shit. And it came out of my mouth, and we're doing it for charity. And if they don't, bro, I'll be on a first class ticket back to Iowa with two blowtorches to make sure they never sell HBAM again.
They burn it all down.
I'll burn it to the ground.
So yeah, it says revenue is over $500 million. And I think that's just like a level that they've hit. So I believe it's probably a $1 billion company. That was annual revenue. So I think they're definitely a $1 billion company. And again, we don't know for sure, but this guy said, and he's very active with us on Twitter. Like, he responds to a lot of our stuff and has been trustworthy before, so I don't see why he'd lie that they're selling Hawks by a Million flags. Granted, our flags were really expensive, and that was our only option as far as flags went the last time we sold merch. Merch is another question that we got. Get there in a second. But yeah, I don't know if everything that Shields sells is all from Shields brand, or if like people are allowed to try and like walk up into Shields as a local company and like, hey, can we get a rack in Shields? You know, like, we're a sporting good company. We sell whatever. Like, if we wanted to, could we walk up in there and like try and...
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
So then it would be somebody in Shields that was like, hey, we got a product idea that we took from a popular Hawkeye podcast. Let's sell it in Iowa City, Shields. That would suck if that actually happened.
And that's just disgusting, man. Because we're not even asking for a dime. We're just asking for the right thing to be done and the money to go where it to the rightful owners.
Well, there might be a little cease and desist coming for them. So we'll see.
I'm hot about that.
Hot about that. On a lighter note, that same guy asked if we could get Kevin, when he does join the podcast, to tilt his camera up more towards his awards as a joke.
That's like, hey, so disgraceful. Like, the fact, so listen, man, the fact that scum ass Kevin has hella awards, dude.
So many.
He was like Mr. Award Show. It was the Josie and Kevin show for like 2 years. I heard enough of Kevin's victory speeches to make me throw up twice.
I had time to go back for seconds at the banquet as many times as he was up on at the podium.
Pisses me off.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them, and you know, he's for as much as we shit on him, he's a successful guy.
The most successful of all of us, which is why he can get the most shit, because we're punching up, we're not punching down.
Punching up, man. That's exactly what we're doing. Let's get into some other actual questions here. And I think there's enough to create good conversation.
I feel like it's been great so far.
Yeah, it's already been a
I'm having the time of my life.
20 minutes or so. So, you know, we try and provide. Sucking down, I suck down a little Powerade Zero here, man. When I'm training, when you're training as much as you, I do, you realize like vitamins and minerals, you got to get that shit back in you. You got to fill it up. Bro. Little boost. Essentially, I'm drinking a boost.
Dude, you should see what a large acai bowl will do for you.
I've never had an acai bowl. Listen, waiting until I go to Route 43 Juicery in fucking Decorah, Iowa, Josie Jewel.
Bro, they better have it because it's full of all fruits and antioxidants and all the vitamins you need.
Speaking of, I tried to get Josie on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, it was Saturday night, obviously. I text him too far out. And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing, bro. Like, oh, blah, blah. I text him the day of. He's like, oh, you should have let me know sooner. So I let him know a day ahead. I was like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow for 45 minutes? He goes, I've got an event at the juicery and then I'm flying back to Denver. And I'm like, God damn it, Josie. Like, you're out there being a guy like that. And like, you just can't have 45 minutes for your boys, can you? That's okay. But he's out there selling. He's slinging acais, man, and juicers.
I know. Congrats to him. I tried to invest in his business and they said, we got this one. He said, the next one, we might take investors. And I think I've got the in on an investment. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll 100% put some cash into that because they can't keep those juices on the shelves there.
Well, they look delicious. I follow them on Instagram and I would like a shipment.
Shout out Route 43 Juicery in Decorah.
Hey, Mick, can I get a shipment, please?
Yeah, send me a freaking box, man. Send me a 12-pack.
This is a absolutely free advertisement from Route 43 Juicery in Decorah, Iowa, run by the tremendous Jewel family. Mm-hmm. And please go there and give them as much business as possible. And
yeah.
Mick, also, can I get a case?
Yes. Ship some cases, man. We'll send those addresses over. Speaking of, now, Ike, Katie's about to pop again.
And shout out. Shout out to the legends having a second kid.
Second. So now this makes me think that Josie is probably in the running here for a second kid coming up soon. There's going to be
from
another.
From what I've heard from parents, you know, a lot of parents at jujitsu. So you hear a lot of parent talk. And they say that if you have them too far apart, it's a nightmare.
Really?
But if you have them all together and you get the baby stage out of the way very quickly,
you just knock it out.
Yeah. But if you wait 5 years and you got to go through another baby stage and you wait 5 years, you got to go through another, that's what I hear is hard. But you know, I've got zero kids and I know nothing.
Yeah, my brothers and I were all 2 years apart, so we kind of, you know, it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And then, like two and a half. My wife, her and her sister were 5 years apart, but that it was just them. So I don't know. We'll see. Happen eventually. Being a parent, that's something.
That is not. That's a. Oh God, it's so frightening, dude. Oh, it gives me chills down my spine to think about myself as a parent right now.
I'm
a fucking mental disaster.
Well,
if I had a child, I'd be. Oh, I'd be stressed.
There is something to. Well, theoretically, you would have help in that situation. There would be another side to that. A female, generally, who has they grow them.
Right.
Yeah. And there is something to be said for figuring yourself out before you try and create another human. And, you know, with everything you got going on the insides and sometimes up in the head and physically, and we maybe hold off on it.
Hold off, right?
For you.
Just a good idea, right? My dad had me when he was 40.
Yeah. Granted,
I was 23 when I found him dead. So that was not ideal. Usually you like to have your parents a lot longer than that, but here we are.
There we go. Yeah, man. Parenting. It's, well, here in Des Moines, I mean, no one gives a shit, but we're kind of in that age where everybody we know, there starts to be a lot of Instagram pregnancy announcements.
And I really, I'm not a big social media, like, God damn it.
I'm not either.
I don't like those gender reveals. Somebody burned down a forest on a gender reveal. Come on. I think we talked about this already. Like, come on, man. It's just the social media era has become too much.
I love the ones where they're like, yeah, we're going to fill like a, you know, whatever kind of ball with the pink.
And you're going to hit it.
And you're going to hit it. And then the guys miss, dude. They
and then you forget that the guy has the eye-hand coordination of fucking, who's the deaf blind chick?
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Helen Keller?
Helen Keller. He's got the eye-hand coordination of Helen Keller. Oh, here trying to hit the gender reveal baseball.
The even better ones are where, like, when they take the pitch because it's, like, too far inside and then it explodes on the ground and they look at their life like, what the fuck? You threw it inside. You jammed me up. But we're having a girl. Let's go. Hey, it's a girl. Yeah. No, I don't mind, like, the gender reveal if it's, like, not – super fancy and just drawn out. Like, hey, let's not spend, you're about to have a kid and like have to buy diapers and a bunch of, you know, formula, all this stuff. Maybe don't spend three racks on a gender reveal party, you know? Like if it's a cupcake, like it's a blue or pink cupcake and it's like in front of family, okay, cool. And I imagine that'll be like whenever that time comes for us, like that's how extravagant it will be. But these people, man, I swear to God, the influencers are the worst. It's so horrible.
I actually hate the word influencer so much. Fuck you if you think you're influencing me.
And what's crazy is all the kids nowadays, it's all they want to be. They just want to be
influencers. Insane. They just want to be YouTubers and influencers.
It's wild.
Like, what wild. About, I mean, I understand that I'm worthless as shit too. And I'm like half a fighter and like half a whatever, but
podcaster.
Yeah. You know, throw a couple things into the mix.
Right.
But still, like, we had better aspirations than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild, man. But the one thing it does give me a little hope for is maybe it opens up, maybe less kids are interested in being elite athletes. And then, like, if my kids want to be athletes, you know, the path is a little less, there's a little less, you know, shit to work through. There's a little less competition to get to the top. Who knows? And God knows my kids are going to need it at 5'4", so... Hey, it is what it is.
Tough, bro.
Tough, man. They're going to have to.
Bro, lead them towards golf.
Golf? I know, man.
Francesco Molinari is like 5'4", 130 pounds, a little Frenchman or Italian guy or something. And he's won.
Kevin!
Kevin Awards.
Now, Kevin, we barely got into the questions here. One of the first questions was if you could potentially tilt your camera when you're on the podcast so that we can see your awards better. Everyone wants to see your award. He tilted. Oh man, that's lovely.
I've moved most of them downstairs now.
How's your day at work, Bubs?
It was all right. All over the place today, but we're good.
We were just talking about parenting.
Kevin, if you would have been here for the first 25 minutes of this podcast, you would be on the floor.
Yeah,
it was what are we talking about?
We talked about gender reveals, parenting, Drake walking in on a Bellator Champs promo video, his GI track problems, couple other things, you know.
We've had fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like good stuff.
We went off on Shields.
Oh yeah, we went off on Shields.
If you want to give your spiel.
Can we get like a confirmed account that they're selling our shit there or what?
Yeah, that's we need confirmation. So once we get confirmation, I might send over a little cease and desist day. Or just tell them like, hey, okay, cool, sell it and give us
money.
Well, give us money or give the money to the hospital where it's going to end up regardless anyway. Which, by the way, I don't know if we ever talked about this. I might have mentioned it once. We didn't like – because it's just not the way we do things. We don't publicly kind of post that stuff because it's just – we just do it because we want to do it. But we ended up donating over $5,000 last year to the Children's Hospital. And that was all due to you guys who listen and buy the merch and subscribe to the Patreon and all that. Like – we just never posted like a, hey, look at us. We donated $5,000. But if you ever want to see it, I can show you the receipt. Humble brag. Well, I some people may want to know because we never really did promote it. And most people do. Okay, we'll get into a few questions here. Soon I read CF as CrossFit. Soon the college football playoffs could be 12 teams instead of 4. a lot of traction on that. Many of the podcasts that I listen to, this how this person worded this question, explain how this is favorable for Wisconsin, but never mention Iowa. Why do you think Wisconsin always gets the upper hand of the publicity? And how do you feel about the 12-team playoff idea? We've kind of talked about
I feel like that's a silly question of why Wisconsin always gets the publicity.
It's because they're better.
Because they win the West. Like, it is what it is. The West goes through Wisconsin. It pains all three of us to say it, and it's pained us to play them and lose to them. Mm-hmm. And it fucking really sucked it when it was our senior year.
Yep.
And we still couldn't beat them. And, I mean, the West runs through Wisconsin. Of course they're going to get the publicity.
Now, does it run through – how many years does it take for Wisconsin to not win the West? Because they didn't win it last year, and we beat them last year. And I know it was COVID year, and blame it on that, whatever. But what if, again, this year we beat them, they lose to a couple other teams, they don't win the West? Is it 2-3 years before it's like, okay, this thing's kind of opened back up again? Three years, maybe? Two?
Yeah, two years.
2 years?
If you don't win it 2 years in a row, or if you go 2 years without winning it, then it's...
Then it's kind of open. Yeah, I agree. That quarterback is good. That young kid, he went for like 5 touchdowns in the open last year. Yeah, Mertz. I think he's going to be good, but man, it feels like our recruiting class has kind of been a little bit better towards Wisconsin's classes. I think the gap might be closing between Northwestern, Iowa, Wisconsin, and then Minnesota had a little bit of momentum. Who knows what they
Minnesota
look like.
Minnesota can lick nuts.
Yeah.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
True. Old PJ Flecker.
Row that boat right off Niagara Falls.
The 12-team playoff, we talked about the playoff before. We all were kind of on the bandwagon of 8 with the general consensus of, like, give the 5 champions the auto bids, and then there's 3 at-larges. So
you your mic's echoing a little bit.
No, I don't even have my mic yet.
Yeah, I think it's just our audio coming out of there.
Turn down the volume.
I think that we're more of a fan of 8, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or those thoughts have changed for you guys. 12, it starts to open it up to, like, okay, but and yeah, that probably would be better for Iowa, because more often than not in the last 5 years, Iowa has finished in that 10 to 20 range, right? And so they've got a chance to kind of weasel their way up into a playoff spot, but how
does it their way right up into Clemson or Alabama?
Right.
It's just not fun. Like, what is way more fun is playing Mississippi State in the Outback Bowl and squeaking out a victory in an awesome game. That's right. Way more fun than being an 11 or 12 seed and getting fed to the Lions, dude. Like, those recruiting classes have gotten obscene. I follow it on Instagram The only thing that pops up is all of these Clemson and Alabama 5-star commitments. Like, it is now out of control. They run the entire country. Ohio State can kind of keep up in their best year, but other than that, like, it's a 2-team race and it's gotten out of control.
Yeah, and Drake kind of alluded to it a little bit here. It's like, does having a 12-team playoff make it more competitive? No,
it actually sheds a light on how not competitive it is, you know? Like,
right, like you said. So, like, for the past X amount of years, as long as it's been 14 playoff, people have been complaining that it hasn't been enough. You know, like, we went from 2 to 4, and now it's like, oh, now that's not enough. People want more and more. Rarely do you have more than 4 teams in the country that have a legitimate shot at winning it.
or a legitimate claim even as like we're the best team, right?
Right, right. So, you know, I would be open to eight. You know, you get the five Power Five conferences, you get one from the group of five and two at large. I think that'd be fine. I don't think it really changed much in terms of, you know,
At least it gives like the Cincinnati from last year a chance, right? Or like,
but you guys understand that they're trying
to everyone in the country to be able to play for that opportunity,
right?
You know, I don't, you know, I think that if anyone goes undefeated, you have the right to play for the national championship until somebody beats you.
Like when UCF went 13-0 and they were like, and they claimed like, oh, we're the national champs.
Exactly. Well,
they had they didn't lose. So what else do they have to do, right?
Yeah, and then they beat an SEC team in a power in
Auburn, right?
They beat Auburn
in a bowl game. So
what do they call those special games now? The New Year's Six games?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
You know, like here's my idea is that if they're gonna move it, they're moving it to 12 because it's more money.
Money.
Like if they move it to 8, it's a little money, but if they move it to 12, it's even more money.
Dude, it's all about money, man.
It's sick.
Yeah, it is, but you know.
Oh, here comes Kevin. Mr. Moneybags, here we go.
This is why I'm against 12 is because college football is the best sport in the fucking world because the regular season has more emphasis put on it than any other sport.
It matters
in the world. Like every game matters. If you lose two games, your chances of making it are pretty much slim to none.
Yeah, there's less variance.
Exactly. You have to bring it every single
like in college basketball, like the team that wins the championship every year, every once in a while, you'll get like a one or two loss team out of like a 35 game season. But a lot of times, I mean, shit, Illinois, granted they lost to Loyola. It's just different.
Yeah. I mean, like it's completely different. And I'm not saying one's necessarily better than the other. I love watching March Madness, but at the same time, you know, like Loyola makes that run at the Final Four a few years back.
Right.
They probably lost like Chicago State Southern University or something like that. Are they really one of the best four teams in the country? I don't think so.
No, they just happen to be for 2 weeks. They just happen to win
those four or five games to get there. So it kind of discredits the regular season a little bit, but, you know, it makes the postseason awesome. Whereas in football, I don't think expanding the playoff makes the postseason that much better because the competitiveness is just not there for those top tier programs.
In basketball, you're more likely to get a game where, you know, for some reason, this school that's not supposed to be winning can hang around for 40 minutes and put one in at the buzzer. And it's crazy.
Right.
But more often than not, Alabama's going to run their five stars out there and just stomp your dick in.
I'm all for Alabama and Clemson getting kicked out of being the two big dogs just running this shit.
Okay? I don't know how you do it.
It'd be great for college football to have some more parity and, you know, get some fucking Pac-12 team that can compete. And, you know, you actually have 8 to 10 to 12 teams that can compete for a national title.
Because if there were 12 that actually were pretty even, then a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, if this was like a problem, like year in, year out, we're like, man, I don't know. We got some good teams all across that can really compete against one another. And like, I could take any of these teams versus any of the other teams one way, six one way, half dozen the other. It's just not where it is right now.
But
I don't think expanding the playoff, some people made the argument that expanding the playoff would help recruiting.
Because then like other teams would get a chance. Other teams
are, you know, in the spotlight more, make runs to the national title. Maybe that helps bring recruits away from Alabama, Clemson's of the world. Maybe.
You might
get maybe some. It's like when the, in 2015, either Big Ten championship that showed up to that, that bowl game was getting beat 50-0, dude. Man, like it didn't matter if
curb stop.
Like I was cool with it. I was really truly hoping that I could say that in my career I went to a national championship playoff game and got curb stomped.
Maybe we don't get curb stomped though. You know,
fuck off. We got curb stomped by Stanford. We would have gotten. We would have got all, dude. It would have been a bloody mess. Jesus Christ.
You know, it is possible.
Kirk would have thrown in the white flag at halftime and we'd have got on the bus.
They would have quartered us like the old fashioned tie our limbs together and have
it was 35-0 against Stanford.
Yeah.
It is possible though that we wouldn't have had to face Bama since we were undefeated, but Michigan State had one loss. We might have been seated at the
who we would have played? Georgia?
Clemson.
Or Clemson?
We would have probably played Deshaun Watson. I don't remember
when he graduated. Great. Awesome.
We might have just said, hey, we're going to take our 13-0 Big Ten title. We're going to call it a year, folks.
Hey, we'll take that Jordan Bohannon gift bag and get our asses the fuck out of here, huh? Oh, anyway. Here's the thing, Kevin. You talk about that parity. If you take Alabama and Clemson out of the picture, I think – Most years, like 3 through 10, give it to any of those 8 teams. Then it looks really cool. But it just doesn't look cool when you're like, the more teams you throw in with these two big dogs, the big dogs are still going to eat. They're just eating more, you know? I don't know. Yeah, That got off into a tangent.
You got to start taxing them for some of their players.
Like a recruitment tax, like a 5-star tax.
Pay all the rest of the universities the money they're not going to get because you're going to steamroll them straight to the national title.
Right. Well, after that conversation.
Interesting topic, though.
It is. And every time we talk about it, there's some little twist that adds to it. And I think it's a great conversation. And it's going to continue to be a conversation as long as these talking heads and the powers that be continue to say, well, potentially next year, we're going to move it to 13 teams and the 13th team gets a bye, but then they're going to play the 1 seed. And then the 7th team, they're going to roll dice to see if they play the 4 or the 6 seed.
And eventually it's like, all right, the playoff starts on September. And it's a 1-game elimination. Everyone's going to start off in a bracket and we're just going to whittle our way down to the final two.
We now have a March Madness in the fall. And you get 3 conference games and you have to win and to get a great seeding, you have to win those games by 60. You have to go all out. It's a bloodbath. And then everyone's seeded into a 128 team bracket.
Win your conference championship by being the last one alive from your conference. Yeah. That's how you win.
And we add weapons.
It's just playoff football. There's no regular season. It's just playoffs. You're guaranteed 1 game.
Every game, there's a new game every day of the week. They move. It's just Monday through Sunday college football, and they just put in every college football game gets a primetime TV slot on some network, and they're just throwing hella cash at it. It's wild.
The selection show is just every team's head coach comes up and spins like a big old wheel. Whatever team you land on, that's who you're playing.
It's just a lottery.
Imagine some of the bloodbaths, dude.
And Alabama's going to be playing
Abilene Christian.
It's going to be Clemson versus Montana State. Oh, shit. All right. Well, yeah, that'd be crazy. So there's a tangent. And this next question.
Next question, please.
It doesn't really do it justice. It was asking, did you guys have any pregame hype songs? And then also said, what song really gets Kevin pumped to close that sale?
Close that sale.
Are you a closer, Kevin? What's your best closing strategy? You just flash a peck or two or what?
I think he just shows them Stryker's medical devices and say that the products sell themselves.
It's true.
Well said, Drake. Well said. We'll go with that.
Okay.
No pump up songs for sales cause.
I think I've said this before, but my playlist on game day was exclusively Eminem, Mac Miller, and Taylor Swift.
Give me Welcome Back by Jeezy. I really like that song.
I had a lot of Eminem on there. I had some Linkin Park on there, some AC/DC.
Linkin Park, was, huh?
Dude, Linkin Park, I can't say I'm surprised that you were getting ready to slit your fucking wrist.
getting a little emo on there, a little bit emo before.
They got some good ones.
Yeah, yep. This kind of goes back to the last podcast, which matchup are you most looking forward to this season? Who do you think is the most overrated and underrated team this year in the Big Ten? After we talked about that Iowa State matchup last week, it's hard for me to get more excited than the Cy-Hawk game this year. I don't know if there's another game on the schedule that I care about more.
It's always that one. Give me that one. As a fan, it's always that one because I talk too much shit. True. I talk way too much shit. The anxiety that I have watching the Hawks play them every year. Yeah. And every year I do it to myself, dude. I talk the most shit of anyone.
And you have so much on the line at that point.
Yeah. And like, I just ride with my guys and I always will, dude. I will always talk shit and I will always ride with my guys. And that's just kind of what it is.
Now, is your anxiety because you don't want to have to eat your words that you've been talking shit for the last year or because you won't have the right to talk shit for the next year?
Good question.
That's probably the best question that's been asked.
Wow.
One is definitely how bad it hurts to see Iowa State on top of us. Yeah. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two is the inability to talk shit. Number three is the backlash because they can all eat dicks, but that's that.
I think we might have just found our next shirt in I will always talk shit and I will always ride with my guys. That's a good t-shirt.
I'd wear that shirt. If I have to choose a different game than Iowa State, I'm going to go with Indiana, Big Ten opener versus a quality Big Ten team.
Yeah.
Their quarterback is a real deal, right? His name's Penix. Is that the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This kid has got some real hype behind him.
And he actually got hurt last year, which kind of made their postseason not that exciting.
The guy that they had, he had been the starter. He's a little short white dude.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. But they just decided to go with this younger guy because he's got a higher ceiling. And
he's good. He's athletic. He's and we know Indiana can score going all the way back to 2015.
Their
defense is good this year.
Arguably better for them last year than their offense.
Similar to Iowa State, they also return 19 of 22 starters.
It's wild to me that Indiana can attract recruits, man, because I went on a recruiting visit to Indiana.
Did you really?
And like, I mean, the girls are hot, but that is it, man.
I mean, the girls are hot on every college campus though. Like,
yeah, they're really hot in Indiana, pal.
You live out in Arizona now. There's not a lot better than ASU or...
Yeah, but I go from my house to the gym.
That's true. You never go to ASU. The rest of the schedule, it's definitely not Kent State. It's not Colorado State. It ain't Maryland. And then it's Penn State, Purdue, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska. Nebraska is not an exciting game for me until they actually win one in the series. Illinois is Illinois this year, and they're probably in a little bit of a figure who they are this kind of year. Minnesota, they're not. Wisconsin, it's Wisconsin or Iowa State, because Wisconsin's always going to be a game, and so is Iowa State and Indiana. So
yeah, I mean, it depends how the season shakes out too. You know, if you got you come down towards the wire and it's a big time divisional game, say you got Wisconsin late, you know,
whatever, yeah, takes true.
The lead for
the West
race to the West, you know, can get pretty amped up for that game. No doubt.
Things can get much more exciting or less exciting depending on how teams play out in the season. And that's exactly. Usually how it feels as a player too. Cause you just don't have time to give a shit about it before. Like, it's just, okay, we're lining up, in the beginning.
Did you guys, you know, you always get that little bit of a tingle before a game sometimes.
Yeah, I did get an erection, but I also did take Viagra before the game for the blood flow effects. So,
okay. Wow. Fuck you.
That's not true.
More as the year went on in 2015.
Oh, Kevin, you know I did, because every Sunday, it made no sense. It made no sense. Iowa
had selection show Monday or Tuesdays, whenever they were, when we'd get out of meetings and we'd go to the players lounge and watch the selection show and watch the top 10 and just the ticker gets the 6 and it ain't us. The ticker gets the 5 and it ain't us. And we're like, oh my God.
The gooch gets a little tight, boys. I mean, it's like, I will say this. I think we're so fortunate to have been on a team that was in that position, even though we didn't go. The hype over, I would say after we beat Maryland in game 8, and then when we were, now it was, oh shit. Okay. 2009 team went 9-0 to start the year. They haven't done it since then. They had, that's the only other time they've won 9 games to start the season. The comparison started to happen, and we actually started to get a little bit of respect. I believe we cracked around the 11 or top 10 mark at that point, or maybe we were already at like 9 or 8. And the Indiana game, I don't know, the anxiety I had about the Indiana game.
That was a tough Indiana game.
But as soon as Akram took the first handoff, I felt better. Yeah, I felt way better.
Way, way better.
Better, but I wasn't feeling good until we recovered that onside kick at the end.
Oh, shoot. So now we're 9-0.
Recovered. I think it went out of bounds.
Hank recovered it, didn't he?
I remember being pissed off.
Hank might have pushed it out, I think.
Oh, I remember being pissed off at someone because they're on the front line, and front line you're supposed to block. You're not supposed to try to get the ball unless it comes straight to you. And I forget who it was.
I wish you didn't, because you could cuss them out right now.
But I was pissed off that they tried to get the ball instead of, and it, I think Indiana might have touched it too soon or it went out of bounds. One of the two, but they almost fucked it up.
Hey, Drake, Kevin was pissed off in a football game. What a shocker, huh?
I mean, but I'd be a pot calling a kettle black if I said shit about it.
This is true.
I've screamed at everybody from fans to teammates to coaches to officials to myself. I don't know. Like,
well, when'd you get in it with a fan?
There was a fan who was yelling at our quarterback because our running back bench was close, and somebody was yelling shit. It was either at Brian or at the quarterback. I'm a little fuzzy on it. And I let it happen. They wouldn't stop. And I snapped, and there was people pulling me back from the barricade from screaming like profanities at this fan.
No, that doesn't surprise me either. That actually sort of bleeds into another question here that said craziest interactions with fans or teammates during a field storming.
Field storming. That was cool. My favorite was going up in the stands. I already told that story.
Yeah. Whoever asked the question said they were hammering on James Daniels' shoulder pads, telling him one more year. And obviously James left for the draft and didn't do that. It was after the Ohio State game. I think
my favorite story. After the Ohio State game, I went up into the stands. Then as the field was clearing, I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the locker room. And I went to hop down like right at the tunnel, right at the break where the tunnel starts. Mm-hmm. And there's a fan laying on a stretcher with a Drake leg.
No.
He had a Drake leg, and he was fucking getting, he was about to get wheeled out of the stadium to the hospital. And all I did was like, I jumped by and I looked at him and I just was like, whoo. I was like, have a good night, bud.
He tried to storm the field and got straight cool-licked, man.
Dude, his leg was sideways.
That's tough.
I have to say, fans do get pretty audacious when they get onto the field, and it's kind of a situation like there's no rules, you know?
Someone started trying to steal my glove.
Yeah, if you watch the clip of when we beat Michigan and we start to storm the field, and Jabril Peppers is walking off the field, and Desmond comes over because they're boys and they knew each other, and Desmond comes over to like dap him up before he runs off into the locker room. Very respectful by Des too, but kind of like also like a little mini jab, like, hey, fuck you, we just won. Love that out of Des. There's fans like attacking Desmond and like all, and I'm like, holy shit, dude, like I'm glad I'm not one of these popular guys, because fans drunk, I mean, now that there's Busch Light showers in the stadium, because that's a guaranteed tradition now, I've heard.
I mean, I gotta make a quick comment there. You could smell plenty of booze when the fans rushed the field.
Oh yeah,
before there was booze allowed in the stadium.
So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes, rushes the field and starts punching other players, old Woody Hayes style, you know, taking shots at the opposing team.
Please don't do that.
For me,
please don't do that. Or Drake.
I'm not going to do that. I was going to say for me.
I ain't even coming back to Iowa.
Yeah, Drake's in the West. For me, the craziest shit was simply a realization of how many people actually knew who I was after that Ohio State game. Man, I probably had five different families or people pull me aside and say, "Kluver, awesome catch on that play. Can we get a picture?" And I was just like, "Oh, I'm never more famous than I am right now. This is it. This is peak." And then it was super surreal to find my girlfriend at the time or my fiance at the time. Pretty sure fiance.
What an irrelevant detail.
And my mom, and it was just like, it was very, to share that moment with fans that were just drunk and happy to whip Ohio State's ass and my family, it was pretty cool, but nothing crazy. I don't remember anything.
When we did the dog pile against Michigan, I remember having thoughts like, this is not going to end well for me. Like, my leg is breaking and I'm suffocating. And I mean, it's cool if I go out this way, but I'm going out. And
yeah, for Bo, he thought he was dead.
And just so happened to be that you broke your leg 1 week later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times, by the way. What was a time where you saw KF the most pissed?
Probably at me.
Really?
Yeah. He was not happy when I came and about ripped Ron's head off.
Okay.
He was also not happy about the body bags comment.
No.
He was also not thrilled at me at practice a couple of times.
There were several times where he would stand behind, and Kevin would remember this too, where we would restart a punt period or a field goal period because the kickers did not put it in the right spot.
And he wasn't punishing the kickers. He meant to be punishing the kickers. Who he was punishing was the people running down the goddamn field every time.
That's correct. And it was more of a, man, KF, he gets mad at the refs and they yell at the refs, but they're not legit.
The maddest I ever saw was KF at a ref. And like, I couldn't believe he didn't get thrown out of the game. And it was on a bad call. And I believe it was against Michigan State.
Okay.
And there was a horrible call. Somebody's got to remember this. Somebody's going to hear this and remember it. Yeah. There was a fucking terrible call on the left. So our bench, it was to the left side of the field.
Yep.
And he was going banana land.
I remember he was irate. I think this was versus Michigan 2016, where Snyder got called for like a
snapper. Yep. He was livid.
Fucking irate.
And you want to know why? He was so worried about that. He came over to me and actually asked, "Kluve, are they doing that to you? What's that look like on your side?" And he was trying to ask me questions. And I was like, "Coach, I just
work here, coach. Please don't ask these hard questions."
I filled up the Gatorades and grabbed the linemen some shoes. I don't know what I'm doing around here. So just don't ask me good questions like that. Cause
y'all remember, oh man, I forget who it was against, but it was in Kinnick Stadium. And I want to say it was earlier in our career. I want to say it might've been 2014 Wisconsin.
Bad year.
Great game though.
Good game. Really good game. Thought we were going to win that one and we didn't.
He was getting in some ref's ear and the play's about to start. He's like, "You got to get off. Play's about to start." He's like, "Fuck that." Calls a timeout just so he can.
That could be it. The KF timeout to scream longer.
To continue to bitch. Yeah.
Could be the KF moment of our entire career.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? He's so goddamn respected by people in the world of football that I don't think anyone will throw him out of the game. He would have to physically engage in an altercation with a ref.
But fuck if KF gives somebody a kick in the gut and an old stone cold stunner, that'd be a some bitch.
Hey man, if any of you have ever had the privilege out there to shake KF's hands, dude's got some massive hands.
It's firm now. Don't
let him get my paws on you.
I just pictured, when you just said a stone cold stunner, I thought about in that moment, he says, "The play's about to start. You got to get off the field." KF takes a couple steps back and then rears up and fucking vipers him. Just RKO out of nowhere. KF RKOs the referee hard as fuck and then just gets up and dusts off. And the ref's just...
The ref's flopping around, and I see KF. I see KF do that, and I come in with the Swanton Bomb.
No, you come in, KF covers and pulls the leg, and you're like, one, two, three, and the whole crowd goes ballistic. And then Manders out of nowhere comes out of somewhere with a fucking with a long tube light bulb and smashes it over the ref's head.
All hell breaks loose in Kinnick. The other team comes across the field in gladiator style warfare. Yeah. It's like 300 all over.
Somehow we have spears and swords out of nowhere. Like, I don't know. That just escalated.
Yeah.
Our podcast is stupid.
Yeah.
We're going downhill real fast.
Dude. Fast. So fast. Does Goodson throw a pass this year?
Yeah,
for sure. And if so, who does it go to?
Who cares?
Just anyone.
Yeah, whoever's open.
I would love to see a little sneaky have Laporta kind of block for a couple seconds and then leak into like a seam route or something.
I could see him doing a little Tebow goal line jump pass.
Yeah.
You know what I like?
Wildcat.
I like toss right, Laporta fake cut, George Kittle out the backside.
Yes.
Tyler just throws it back across the field real quick to nobody. There's just nobody there.
I'm sorry. I love our boy George Kittle. That's Dallas Clark's play.
Oh, I apologize.
They ran it to Kittle in San Francisco too, yeah. And he took it to the house.
Yeah, they ran it to Dallas Clark versus Purdue in 2002,
and it happened to work.
My apologies for my ignorance.
And every time that we see that play on film, Phil Parker referenced it as the Dallas Clark play.
Phil Parker. Oh, well, that brings us into another question. The question was besides. Having Phil Parker, why is our defense so goddamn good every year?
Like, there's no other reason.
It's just because of Phil Parker.
Yeah,
basic, fundamental football.
And you do grind the grimy details until your players are emotionless savages.
I'll say this. KB is a good D-line coach. Coach Morgan was a great D-line coach for a long time. Coach Seth Wallace, God damn it, get those fucking pads down. He can coach now too. And Neiman's dad, he's another good coach. Like, we have a good staff on that side.
We have a great staff that works really well together. They're on the same page on a lot of stuff.
What would there be that cohesion without Phil's 20 years or however long?
Probably not.
Exactly. And that's straight a continuation from Norm Parker before Phil.
Yeah.
That we've been running the same style defense since 1999. I'd hope we're fucking good at it by now.
Right. Yeah. Like, you do something for long enough and goddamn, I hope you're all right. You know,
like, if you play the piano for 22 years and you're not good at it by now, fucking quit.
If you have taught a two gap for 22 years, your players still can't figure it out. Quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, someone asked when the next merch release is going to take place. I am in the process of going back and forth on that. We're actually going to be doing, we're going to be taking our merch a slightly different direction. We're going to be working with somebody new here. And hopefully, definitely on the docket is going to be Hawks by a Million stuff. We're going to have a Hawks by a Million flag. There's going to be a hat or two option. It might even be a little tank top and a little cutoff, you know, for those.
I wouldn't be surprised because all your sleeves are already fucking off.
For those who like that no sleeve nation, you know.
What are the chances that one of those flags can be like a small, like we had the big flags last
year. Like a golf flag?
4x6. Like, I want like a little small one so we can hang on the tailgate, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I will look into the sizes of that.
My dad flies a little flagpole. He's got the Hawks flag, Big Ten flag. I want, like, I don't know if it's like a 2x3, maybe.
Yep. Okay. Last question. I'm going to save a couple of these. Someone came up with this new segment called Five Things. Five things Drake says when he was concussed. Five reasons Kevin thinks he's better than Drake. Five things not to do on nationally televised games. And the five worst things to eat on game day. So I thought these were pretty funny. So what are some things that Drake would say when he just got a fucking linebacker head-to-head collision. Like, probably one of them is like, hey, I'm going to find a teammate to absolutely murder, like Ron Colusi or something like that. I don't know.
Where's my mom? Where's my mom is probably the first one. I need my mom.
Where am I?
Where am I? Why did I choose to do this?
Yeah.
Why am I still doing this?
Can Brady take the next rep? The next one is purely to get some, to cause controversy. Five reasons Kevin thinks he's better than Drake.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to this. But
I have a job.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, actually though, hey, I'm effectively employed.
If you have to say the word effectively, you are unemployed.
It's just because it hasn't started yet.
Okay.
I have a job and it is in the future and it is already set in stone. I just haven't started yet. So that it's effective. But you're right.
But for now.
I'm going to start with I have a job. My gastrointestinal system works.
True.
Yep. There's two.
Yep.
I can squat more.
Yep.
Let's see what else. I'm welcome back in the Iowa football camps. Campus.
Hey, actually though, I just got a text from Legacy Hawks that they wanted me to come to the July event, and I said I'm sorry I can't make it, but I appreciate the invite. So maybe I'm not excommunicated, dickhead. So there's three, and actually your third comment that you can squat more. I can just kick your legs until your legs don't work, and it's effectively null and void.
I don't think that's how powerlifting competitions work.
No, but I don't either. But
I was talking about a fight. Sorry.
Well, what else? I don't have that rag on my head like Drake has.
Yeah, your haircut's probably a little cleaner and more accepted, and then you also have way less CTE.
Oh, but does he though?
Maybe not way less.
Dude,
but
There's one hit that Kevin and I had in Kinnick late in camp.
On each other,
a power 26. I was extremely pissed off because Brian had just jumped all over the offense's ass. And Kevin and I hit heads so hard that from that moment forward, I knew I was not the same.
You were a different person.
I was a different person.
Now, Kevin, what was your perspective on that? Same?
My head hurt.
Five things not to do on a nationally televised game. The only thing I can think of right off the bat is when that Ole Miss basketball player in the post-game celebration went to the opposing student section and double birded the entire student section.
The other one is the Tennessee player when they were losing to Alabama and he threw up the bird to Alabama's fans. That's another thing not to do.
So don't taunt the opposing team, especially if you're getting boat raced.
Yeah.
I would say
aware of when, to the best of your ability, when you're near one of the mics.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I never knew that there was mics anywhere.
Well,
you know, they can, the big little.
Yeah, those things are mics.
Oh, I probably said some obscene shit.
Probably.
Got me for murder, bro.
Now, luckily, most of the time, there's five or six different inputs. And so the odds that they're actually on that input is low. Actually, in the softball World Series, like 2 weeks ago, they caught a girl. It was for the last out to close the series out. It was going to win the whole thing. And she dropped it at the wall. And in the course of that, she smoked her head into the side of the wall. But her teammate comes running out and goes, oh my God, if you would have fucking caught that. And I was like, that's the emotion that I want to see out of some softball players, like dropping a few F-bombs out there. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Aware of when you're standing next to either the head coach
or the quarterback. Yep.
Don't be picking your nose or anything.
I would say just great thing for the team in general, but also on a nationally televised game. And what I think about for me personally was the Michigan State game. If you're a specialist, don't fuck up something that you're supposed to do right 100% of the time. That kid dropped that punt, tried to pick it up, kicked it / lofted it right into the opposing player's hands. And now that Michigan fan is memed for the rest of his life. Don't snap it over somebody's head. And I don't know. Five worst things to eat.
Don't get exposed as a subpar athlete.
Yeah. Oh,
tried his best. Did I ever? Oh, Jesus
and Christ. If you did, hope to God that they caught an angle where they couldn't see you. I think we all missed on that one. We probably all.
Man, dude, I still have nightmares about Jabril Peppers, pal.
I can only see Christian McCaffrey's ass in my dreams. And it's for multiple reasons, because it's nice and tight and firm, but also because he was running away from me.
Only see it past the schlong of two other guys who were all over
me. Who were double teaming you. Like it was casting couch, bro.
Oh my God. Kevin and Clue out of nowhere. This podcast just got X-rated.
Last thing, five worst things to eat on game day. I would say anything very greasy.
Yeah, stay away from the greasy stuff.
Heavy carbs. Like, I wouldn't be smashing donuts or anything.
Well, you can go heavy on the carbs. Just I'd go lighter on the sugary carbs. So
that's like, what I meant. Yeah.
Like my breakfast,
oatmeal,
potatoes, oatmeal, pancake,
yeah, bagel. just not like donuts and ice cream. Don't eat any shit like that. Generally I don't know, candy isn't even necessarily a bad thing to have, because a little quick digesting sugar give you a little energy. Like that's essentially what those Gatorade shoes were. So I would say anything heavy in grease and fat. Not like a juicy burger, probably not the best until after the game.
Soda might not be a great idea.
Soda?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make me feel heavy. I don't even remember the last time I drank.
I'd probably stay away from the Hawkeye vodka until
any alcohol in excess amounts, although somebody said that they did like a shot before every game.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. He was doing Henny before each game, so who knows? Maybe we should have been taking shots. Fuck if I know. I like that. Five things. So every once in a while, I'm going to ask for a five things category, and we'll rattle off some of those. Kevin, I'm glad you got to join for the majority of this podcast.
Hey, you know, you didn't even ask my opinion on what time we're going to do it. You said, hey, we're going to do it this time.
Yep. And you know what? It worked out, because I pigeonholed you into hey, I got to show up here. I'm assuming, it's like 3:30 out in Arizona. I'd love to know what's on the dinner menu for you guys tonight. I'm having hamburger helper.
I am making some homemade hamburger helper.
Oh, and Kevin just went full robot. Finally, the mic finally gives out on the back end of it. So we're making hamburger helper. Drake, with the GI track on edge, what is the meal for you tonight?
I am reverse steering Kaylee and I some ribeyes.
Ooh, we love it.
Sweet potatoes is the side, because that's supposed to be a healthy carbohydrate option.
It is. You know what? I don't care what they say about you, Drake. You're a good guy. You're a mature adult and a great guy.
Dude, I own a house and cook myself dinner.
That's another t-shirt. I own a house and I cook myself dinner. I will never stop talking shit, and I'll always back my boys up. All right. 224 was kind of a banger.
This was one of the best episodes of all time.
For those who like to enjoy the banter, and there's a lot of there's a lot of football shit in there too. So I'll call it a win for the washed up walk-ons, because it's tough to get tough to get those these days.
Dude, it's so hard. I'm not sure I've caught a W on this podcast since like 24.
Hey,
okay, it might have been 200 episodes since my last W on this fucking podcast.
I'm gonna eat a dub, man. I'm gonna eat a jug. 224. Eat a dub, baby. Jameis, we're out. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.